Amen. God is good. God is faithful. He's more than able. I don't know about you, but the longer I follow him and serve him and the more I get to know him, the more convinced I am that God is able and that God is the answer. Has that been your experience as well? God is able and he is the answer. You're like, well, what's the question? Doesn't matter. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and I always enjoy the Advent season, the season of anticipation and waiting, and certainly we're almost there to the celebration of Jesus' first coming, but also we anticipate his coming again. And so this morning, I want to share with you a message entitled, Nothing is Impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So if you don't believe it, I pray that by the time you leave, that you'll believe it. And it's not going to be because of anything I say. It's going to be because of what God says through his word, through his Holy Spirit. So would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we need your presence here. Father, we ask that you would use your word to shape us and form us. Sometimes, Lord, we go to read your word, but we're asking today that the word would read us and that if there's anything in us, Lord, that needs to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, I pray that we would be open to it, that we would allow you, Lord, to have reign and rule over our lives today. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we turn to our passage, I want to have you begin to think for a moment about who your favorite person is in scriptures. Who's your favorite Bible character? Who's your favorite person from scripture? Think with me for a moment. Whether you've grown up in the church or you're fairly new to the Bible and God's word, there's probably somebody that stands out to you, so, a man or a woman that stands out to you from scriptures. And some of you are like, ah, man, I really like King David, right? This man who grew up as just a young shepherd boy, and we love the stories. David, just a young, small, I like David, young, small guy, right? Who took out the giant with just a sling and a stone and went on to become king. And as we read about the story of David, we see at one point in scripture that he's described as a man after God's own heart. Like, who wouldn't want to be like David? To be a skilled warrior and a great leader, but also a poet, having written so many of our psalms. Or maybe you're thinking of someone like Noah, right? Noah, what a story, what a guy. God gave him a word, and it seemed impossible. God told him to build an ark because a flood was coming, and all he could do was look around and say, it hasn't rained in a long time. What are you talking about? And yet he was faithful to listen to the Lord despite being mocked and ridiculed by all those around him. Or maybe Daniel comes to your mind. Daniel, the one who was taken into exile but remained faithful to the Lord. He could not follow all of the commands of the king because he had to follow his king and Lord. And you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den. How those lions didn't stand a chance. They didn't touch him. So who is it that comes to your mind? Who are your favorite people in scripture? For many of us, we think the direction that I've shared, but of all of the people that lived extraordinary lives, I think the most extraordinary is one that we're going to look at today, and she's often overlooked except for this season of Advent and Christmas, and sometimes she makes her way into our Easter story. I'm talking about Mary today. Too often we tend to forget about Mary, the mother of Jesus, but there's no one quite like Mary. So instead of just rushing through our passage today, I want us to really receive these words and to contemplate what the gospel writer is saying to us. Because this is the season where we all too often rush through things. Right? This is the story of the commercialized Christmas, where we feel rushed and it begins earlier and earlier in the year. Remember when you used to shop for Christmas presents like in December? Weren't those the good old days? No, so many of us, we feel rushed and pressed. And this year in particular, things have shifted. And some of us are like, thank the Lord, we didn't have 10 different Christmas parties to go to. But yet, many of us still feel rushed. But let's not rush through his word today. I want to take us together to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, and we'll read verses 26 through 38. This is the foretelling of the birth of Jesus. Luke 1, verse 26 begins this way. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David." All right, that's kind of a long setup. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Amen. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Luke actually writes about two miraculous announcements here in Luke chapter 1. There are two miraculous conceptions. One is Elizabeth, this relative of Mary. She was old and barren, and that's kind of harsh language, but she was older and was unable to have children, and yet God brought news to her husband that they would have a son. Amazing. This woman who was unable to have a child that had gone past the age of bearing children is told that she's going to have a son. She would give birth to a son, and they were to name him John, and that her son would be a joy and delight, which, of course, all Johns are, a joy and delight, but thank you. That he would be great in the sight of the Lord, and that he would lead many back to the Lord. So after becoming pregnant, Elizabeth said, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Then in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, there's this second announcement. It's really the announcement or the annunciation. This time, the angel Gabriel comes to a young woman named Mary. And we quickly discover a couple of things about Mary. First, she is a virgin. She has never been with a man. That's kind of a big deal. It's a huge part of the story. Secondly, she is engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. So this young woman from a small village of Nazareth is engaged to be married. She's never been with a man. many ways, she has her future in front of her. I imagine she's beginning to make plans, much like you and I would. If we had been engaged, she was probably working on her registry for the wedding and the plans and all of those things, right? Her future in front of her. But then this angel appears. God's messenger steps right into Mary's plans. Does God ever step right into our plans? And are we open to the Lord stepping into our plans? This angel appears, and it reminds us once again that God can intervene, that God can step into our lives, and God can speak something new, something different than we planned. And when God speaks, things change, and we change. In these past few weeks of Advent, we've spoken of God's voice, how God has the power to redeem and restore and fulfill and create. And so when God speaks, we cannot stay the same unless we choose not to listen. Friends, it's on us. God is faithful to speak. He has spoken, is speaking, and will continue to speak. But are we willing to hear what he is saying? Here, God speaks through the angel Gabriel. It's unexpected, to say the least. So don't rush past this part. Even if you've heard this story before, this is quite mind-blowing. An angel appears to a teenager and begins to speak. He says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Highly favored? The Lord is with me? What could this mean? How would you respond in that moment? Mary was greatly troubled at his words. She was a bit confused. She wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And we're like, yeah. An angel appears out of nowhere and speaks to me, telling me I'm highly favored. I'd say I'd be a bit rattled as well. But the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." The first command given to Mary is, "Do not be afraid." It's a command spoken by the angel, but it's also a word of comfort in the midst of her confusion and uncertainty. Mary, do not be afraid. It's a personal word. It's spoken directly to her. Mary, do not be afraid. God can also speak that word to us today. Bob, do not be afraid. Sergio, do not be afraid. Kathy, do not be afraid. And if I want this to be a really long sermon, I'll call everybody out, but you know what I'm saying. If God appears, do not be afraid. If God speaks, do not be afraid. It would seem that Mary had reason to be afraid. But the angel says to her, she has found favor with God. What a revelation. She has found favor with God. But God's favor isn't just for Mary. God's favor is for his people. Look back through scripture. God favored Abraham and Jacob and Noah and David. So the angel says, do not be afraid. Or as another translation puts it, do not yield to fear. Right? Fear's going to come. You might be afraid, but do not yield. Do not let it overwhelm you. The Lord has found delight in you. You have found favor with God. So what does this favor with God mean? Well, for Mary, it meant that she was about to be blessed with a gift. She was going to conceive and give birth to a son, Not just any son, but he will be great. He will be known as the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give her son the throne of his father David, and he will reign. His kingdom will never end. This is amazing. But there's something else to notice here. Gabriel speaks and delivers to Mary a clear promise. The angel says, "You will." Not, "Hey, I got this idea. What do you think about this?" Not, "Hey, do you think you might be able to fit this into your plans someday? Like, I know you're engaged and you've got your plans, but do you think just maybe at some point?" Now the angel says, "You will." Can God do this? Is this even fair? One commentator says, "Mary isn't chosen because she deserves favor, but is favored because she's been chosen." All of this extraordinary news is followed by the most ordinary response. Mary, much like us, says, "How will this be? I am a virgin." Mary isn't so much in shock of the angel appearing before her. She's trying to wrestle with the earthly implications. She doesn't understand how this is possible. She knows that she's never been with a man. How does the angel respond to Mary's question? It's the Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." You see, God is able. And I'm reminded even to back last Sunday when we talked about the Spirit of God. God is able. If a miracle is going to happen, it's going to happen through God. God's presence and power will come and overshadow you. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child. So don't be surprised. Don't be afraid. God is doing a new thing. The one that was old and barren is filled with new life, and the one that is young and a virgin will conceive new life. For no word from God will ever fail. Amen. Another translation says it this way: "Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Right? Not one promise from God is empty of power. It's his word to us. And he is the promise keeper, the way maker, the miracle worker. Is that not good news today? And we know that this promise came true. We know that God's word happened just as the angel said. That the hope of all nations, the hope of all people, would be born of Mary. We know that his promise came true. But what about us? What about us today? Where is our hope? Is God's word still filling us? Are we making room for him? Are we receiving his word today? Some of you are like, "Man, I just wish an angel would appear and speak to me." But friends, we have the Holy Spirit, God with us. We have his word. What a gift, what a blessing. And God is speaking through his word and the word, Jesus Christ. So do we still believe that God is able to do the miraculous? Do we believe? The angel proclaimed to Mary an important truth. The angel said, "No word from God will ever fail." Is that what you've been hearing? No word from God will ever fail. So what is it that you've been listening to? What is it that you've been reading lately? What is it that you've been receiving? What is it that you've been believing? How did Mary respond to all of this? I think it is Mary's response that causes me to give great pause. How did she respond to this incredible news? She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." May it be to me as you have said. Amazing. More amazing than Samson killing 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. May it be to me as you have said. What would your response been? How would you have responded as a teenager engaged to be married? What about my plans? What about my life goals? What about my dreams? God, this doesn't seem fair. Or how about this one? God, nobody else is having to walk this path. Why do I have to walk this path? But Mary's simple faith and trust is extraordinary. So we don't worship Mary, but we honor her. We follow her example. Friends, I think this is one of the most profound passages in all of Scripture. It is no small thing to be regarded, to be highly favored, especially when you're aware that you shouldn't be. But God was with Mary. God is with us. We celebrate him. Emmanuel, God with us. So what does it mean for us to consider that God favors us? It doesn't mean that we're somehow better than someone else. And it means that God, he loves us, each one of us. We think it's impossible that God would love us this way. And we might say that we believe that he does, but do we really believe? Are we really receiving the love of God today? Do we trust the word of God? Do we trust God enough to believe and receive his word today? This announcement to Mary is surrounded by the impossible. But the angel says nothing is impossible with God. So what is it in your life that feels impossible? What dream has God spoken into your life that you've walked away from? That you've given up on? What path has God called you to walk that's gotten too hard? That you've become frustrated with? The Lord says to us, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I just have a sense that so many in the American church have given up. And it has nothing to do with COVID or attendance or anything. That it has to do with faith and trust and believing God's promises to us. And believing that his promises are full of power and possibility. Believing that God is still speaking, that God is still calling forth a people who will be faithful and obedient to follow him. So may we be like Mary. May we move from bewilderment to belief, from impossible to possible, from our plans to God's plans. May we become a people that proclaim, may it be to us according to your word. Because for Mary and for us, Jesus is good news. The fact that nothing is impossible with God is good news. Friends, Mary was highly favored because she was the recipient of God's amazing grace. And how did Mary respond to that grace, to that favor? She responded by giving her Yes. She literally gave up her body. She was all in. She said yes. Yes to your will and to your way. And her yes took her on an incredible journey, but it also demanded more of her than she could have ever imagined. Right? We love the picture of Mary at the Nativity with the baby Jesus surrounded by the animals and the shepherds and the star. But how often do we consider Mary through the years? As her son grows up, begins to minister, faces opposition, beatings, death on the cross. Friends, following Jesus isn't easy, but it is everything. So have you given God your yes? Have you welcomed him? Have you received him? And have you said yes? Because I can tell you in this season of waiting and anticipation that God has been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you to respond. So once you say yes, you got to get ready to go. Not only do you have to be ready to go, you have to be ready to let go. We see this in Mary. If Jesus is going to be Lord of your life, then you cannot be. I am no longer my own. So our calling is the same as Mary's, to obediently follow after God, to follow him even when it means difficulty and challenge, to follow him even when we don't fully understand. So let's allow God to be at work. Let's allow God to break into our lives, because he's still breathing life into impossible situations, and he's still calling out the most unexpected people, and he's still working miracles today. So our prayer is that the Lord would be glorified and that his word to us would be fulfilled. I'd like for all of us to bow our heads and to respond to the word of the Lord in prayer together. And our response is quite simple. We just respond to what the Lord is asking of us. And I know today that he's asking all of us to trust him. I know he's asking all of us to surrender ourselves. And that looks like saying yes to the Lord. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful story of how your son Jesus entered into our world. Lord, you came in the most surprising and unexpected ways, and you came through a lowly servant, a young woman who would say, "Who am I?" And yet you chose her, Lord. And Lord, you continue to choose the unexpected people, the ones who would say, "Lord, who am I?" So it's not us, but it's Christ in us. So Lord, we say today, we say yes to your will and to your way. We say yes, Lord, have your way in and through us. We say yes as a church family. Lord, have your way in and through us. And Lord, breathe new life into us. Fill us fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Open our eyes to the possibilities. Remind us of your faithfulness, that you are not just a God who did miraculous things in the past, but you are still working miracles today. Amen. Amen. So we say yes, Lord. And we praise you in advance for all that you're going to do in and through your people for your glory. We pray together in Jesus' name. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing our closing song, this declaration of our faith? Amen.